T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Cats News Radio WRVA. It is a Friday afternoon. Congratulations, we have made it. Self high fives all the way around. I got some email the other day, two pieces of email from the U.S. Attorney's Office talking about some very bad folks who are going away for a very, very long time. And I must tell you that I get these emails from the U.S. Attorney's Office and I'm looking for folks' names that I recognize from the FBI or the DEA, and I came across folks with the ATF. And so I am thrilled to tell you that Ryan Kay, who was the resident agent in charge of the ATF for our area, is joining us. Ryan, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk first about the ATF presence in Central Virginia, because as I mentioned this on the air the other day, I had a number of people say, I didn't even know we had the ATF in Central Virginia.
Sure. So here in Richmond, we actually have three offices. My office is in downtown Richmond. We cover the city and Henrico County.
Okay.
The other enforcement office is in Chesterfield, and they cover the 30-plus counties that surround the Richmond area.
Wow.
And then there is an enforcement operations or industry operations office that's also co-located with that group. And they're more regulatory side of the house, doing inspections for federal firearms licensees, explosive licensees, and that sort of thing.
All right. So talk a little bit about your activities, because over the last couple of years, we have heard, I've told any number of stories about FBI activities and DEA activities here in Central Virginia, but tell us what the ATF is doing these days.
Sure. We try to focus our attention on two areas in particular. One is violent crime.
Sure.
There's a lot of gun activity, whether it's gun trafficking, gun use, that sort of thing, and some pretty concentrated neighborhoods downtown. So when it comes to any criminal use, particularly if someone is prohibited from possessing a firearm, like a felon, a drug user, that sort of thing, we try to find the worst of the worst and remove them from those communities. The other focus is that piece on gun trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
This is, for whatever reason, this is a bit of a hub for firearms trafficking. A lot of folks are using who can't possess a firearm or soliciting the help of folks who can. And sometimes they're buying one or two guns and they're using it for an illicit act locally. Other times they're using it, that process, to obtain a lot of guns, and they're trafficking those out of state. So mostly north, we see a lot of guns going to D.C., Baltimore, Philadelphia, New York, that area. Not so much going south, but we do see some of that.
So when we talk about two projects in particular, we see a lot coming from the Attorney General's office, Project Safe Neighborhoods, and the name Project Exile is popping up again, right? Now, for a while, Project Exile was a major success in Central Virginia, and then it seemed as if it kind of went away for a while, right?
I don't think it necessarily went away. I also don't want to characterize it another way because, you know, I've only been here for the past 2 years. I know historically how much Richmond has used Project Exile.
Right.
But, you know, the focus has always been on, you know, finding the folks who are having the greatest impact in some pretty underserved communities.
Okay.
So when we look at, and when I say we, there's an Exile committee that's made up of the Commonwealth Attorney's Office, U.S. Attorney's Office, Richmond Police Department, and ATF.
Okay.
And we look at every single gun arrest that happens in the city of Richmond. And the things that we're looking for are folks who have the most violent criminal history, who have a propensity for using a gun in a crime, whether they were caught for it or where it's just anecdotal evidence.
Oh, really? Okay.
Or folks maybe who are, you know, engaged in domestic violence. Again, things where they're having the most impact on communities that really are having a hard time defending themselves.
So when you look at these cases, now again, you're talking about the involvement of the Richmond City Police, the Commonwealth's attorney, the U.S. attorney. Obviously, then, there's no immediate, hey, we're going after somebody for a Project Exile thing. This is careful, deliberative. You again, want the very worst of the worst off the streets.
Yeah, it's a reactionary tool. It's not something that we're proactively going out and seeking anyone out. So I appreciate it. It's a very careful examination. You know, every couple weeks, we probably see several dozen gun arrests. And out of those, we might only see one or two that were accepted for prosecution. It amounts to maybe close to 24 a year.
Okay.
But those are 24 of the worst.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about these two cases. And again, I have the releases from the U.S. Attorney's Office. And one of them has to do with a convicted felon sentenced to prison for possessing firearms, a gentleman from Richmond who is going to be a guest of the Bureau of Prisons now for the next 52 months. That's Slimero Grimes, 43. Can you tell us a little bit about what that case was about?
You know, Richmond police was on patrol. They saw some suspects involved in, I believe in that case, may have been a traffic infraction.
Okay.
Went to pull him over, and things didn't go well for Mr. Grimes and the driver. You know, again, we saw this arrest come across after the fact.
Right.
Based on his criminal history. His gun possession and some of the statements he made, which I think were part of the release.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of shined out as a good candidate.
Well, there's the understatement of the day, Ryan. Ryan Kay is joining us. He's the resident agent in charge for the ATF. The U.S. attorney talks about Mr. Grimes having prior convictions for abduction, robbery, malicious wounding, and convicted back in 2010 for possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. So, yes, to put it mildly, not a good guy, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Now, this is part of the Project Safe Neighborhoods program. And what does that entail?
So Project Safe Neighborhoods is much like the Project Exile, mm-hmm. is a bit of a committee effort. So is Project Safe Neighborhood.
Okay.
And pardon me for using acronyms. We refer to it as PSN.
Okay.
Flows a little better. PSN is much the same. It's a partnership between federal agencies and state and local folks.
Okay.
There is funding attached to it, which helps. Pays for overtime, sometimes equipment, that sort of things for state and locals to either enhance patrols or enforcement initiatives in places that need it more.
Okay.
And then using whatever federal resources are required to address certain criminal activity in different spots around the city or the region.
So with your background, are you ever shocked? I mean, in this case here, you've got somebody with a very, very extensive criminal history, but comes to the attention of the local constabulary again because of traffic violations.
You know, if I'm sitting in my office, doesn't surprise me. Yeah. If I'm, you know, listening to the radio in my private time and I'm not really, you know, mission oriented, it does.
Yeah.
Because you can be driving down the street any day of the week and not know that the person next to you has a car full of guns that's being trafficked.
Right.
That's you're in a drive-thru McDonald's and maybe there's a narcotics transaction going down, you know, right around the corner, and you'll never know.
Yeah.
And that's a little scary mm-hmm. as a private citizen. I hate to know that my friends and family are in the same environment as these other folks as well.
Yeah.
But no, when it comes to work stuff, we see all types, and it doesn't surprise me at all.
All right, let's talk about the gun trafficker for a couple of moments.
Sure.
Then. Department of Justice, a U.S. Attorney's Office, talks about Tadai DeVoe, age 31, or I'm sorry, age 21, actually, who's now going away for the next 46 months for, again, firearms trafficking. So what went into this case?
So this was a young man who, during the bulk of his criminal activity, if not all of it, was under 21,
mm-hmm.
Was not allowed to purchase a firearm. And he was basically getting other people to do his dirty work. So he had what we call straw purchasers.
Right.
Someone who's not allowed to buy a gun goes in, fills out the paperwork indicating it's for himself or herself, and then transferring it to Mr. DeVoe.
Mm.
Same thing was going on the narcotic side.
Okay.
He was having some folks down in ODU accept shipments of marijuana, also not legal. And eventually it all, you know, came to light, and we were able to work very closely with ODU and with Richmond and RICO to get this guy off the streets as well.
So are you taken aback as I am that here's a guy who's 21 years old, has essentially devoted the bulk of his life so far to criminal activity, next 4 years in prison, and I don't know about you. I've got three little kids. I cannot even conceive of somebody at the age of 13 or 14 saying, "Oh yeah, this is an excellent career path to go down."
It's very hard to see the rational mind thinking that way.
Yeah.
The logic behind it. But at the same time, you know, I used to work in Washington D.C. And working down here, it's not the same. But
right.
There are similarities in underserved communities. People mm-hmm. were communities where there's not a lot of father figures, there's not a lot of church, there's not a lot of places for some of these young people to have examples or have something to occupy their time that's productive.
Yeah.
They learn from what's around them. And unfortunately, we don't get to have any part of their lives until they've committed an illegal act. And that's hard. You know, that strains the relationship between the communities that we try to serve and our departments. And of course, it's just business for us, but we're all humans. Many of us have families. It's hard to see.
Sure.
We do everything we can. We try to work with Richmond, a lot of their community walks. We try to, put ourselves out there, not just in an enforcement capacity, but, in a friendly capacity.
Right.
Make friends, shake hands, hand out, things to the little kids and build friendlier relationships at a younger age.
So Ryan Kay is joining us. He's the resident agent in charge for Richmond and Henrico. As you said, you've got somebody else who covers a number of the counties and cities around us. Curious to know, you said you've been here for 2 years. You want to give everybody just a little sense of why you're here, where you've been so far?
Sure. So I'm born and raised in Arlington County, Virginia. I started with ATF back in 2002. They shipped me down to Bristol, Virginia, so on the Tennessee line for about 6 years. After that, I went back home to Northern Virginia, spent some time doing gun and tobacco cases, actually.
Okay.
Spent some time in headquarters, and then it was time for me to find a new home. And so I had family here in Richmond, and okay. I knew it would be a good spot to land. I'd been here before. There's this is a wonderful community, and I wanted to be close to the family I still had in Northern Virginia. So this is a perfect fit, and I've loved my time here.
Yeah.
We have an excellent relationship with all the state and locals, the federal agencies. We're able to serve this community in a very productive way, bring the resources that ATF has, and I've enjoyed it a lot.
Well, I'm thrilled to hear that, and I'm curious in terms of the presence. As I said, there were so many people when I mentioned the other day, ATF is at the right on the tip of the spear of these two cases. People saying, "Oh my God, I didn't know ATF was in Central Virginia." Other folks that I've actually encountered through some activities like the FBI Citizens Academy, DEA Citizens Academy, can't tell you how many people asked about that, and they're ready to sign up as soon as you decide to start one. Boy, your class will be filled. Is it by design that ATF doesn't have the larger impression, or just because it's kind of the way it's shaken out?
Kind of the way it's shaken out.
Okay.
By necessity. So we're in Richmond. We're part of the Washington Field Division.
Okay.
There's 25 field divisions across the country. Washington Field Division covers obviously the city.
Sure.
And all of Virginia. So we have three offices here that I already spoke about. We have one in Norfolk, one in Roanoke, Bristol, Martinsburg, West Virginia, actually.
Okay.
Falls Church, and I might be forgetting one. But,
okay.
We cover the whole state and the District of Columbia.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we hear about firearms, obviously. This is the most dangerous part of it. Explosives, alcohol, and tobacco. How dangerous is this alcohol and tobacco stuff that you're dealing with?
Alcohol and tobacco, that part's a little bit of a relic.
Yeah.
Back when we were with the Department of Treasury, and there was a tax component, we did a lot more regulation of those industries and enforcement. Much like there is a lot of gun trafficking, believe it or not, there's even more tobacco trafficking. Virginia is a very low tax state, and it makes it a place where you can, cheaply purchase cigarettes and traffic them out.
Okay.
But that just isn't an enforcement priority for us these days.
Right.
There's enough gun trafficking and gun activity to keep us busy. The explosive side, we stay pretty busy on that side. There's a lot of explosives expertise that ATF has carried over the years.
Okay.
To and including arson explosives experience. And so, we work a lot with state and locals with some of their smaller scenes. But anytime there is a large scale fire or a large scale non-terrorist related explosives event, ATF is almost assuredly going to be there.
Wow. Well, it's fascinating stuff. I'm thrilled that you were able to make some time for us to come in here. Again, congratulations on these two cases, and I want everybody to remain aware of this. I'll keep my eye out for the press releases there from the U.S. Attorney's Office, and our best wishes from everybody on this side. We're on your side. We hope that all your guys are staying safe and doing what needs to be done.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
You bet. That is Ryan Kay. He's the resident agent in charge for ATF here in Richmond and Henrico. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.